What's going on, guys, and welcome in to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm your guy, Austin Sexton, here with my Bay LA area guys. I'm here with Roman and Casey. How we doing, guys?
What's going on?
Doing good. How are
you? I'm hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. It is the day that I feel like a lot of us have been waiting for. It is officially Clay Day. Clay's return to the Golden State Warriors. It is going to be a hell of a game tonight. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, it's going to be a good matchup. And I mean, yeah, just having Clay back in the building, back in the Bay Area, it's going to be weird not seeing his pregame getting off the boat or on a bike or anything like that. But yeah, it's good to have him back.
Yeah, it's going to be strange seeing Clay in a different uniform, but it's going to be nice to, you know, have the opportunity for the fans to pay homage to a Golden State Warrior legend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also, yeah, just a good basketball game ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we dive into Clay Day in the Bay Area, make sure to subscribe, like, comment, all of that stuff on the Bay LA Podcast. Give us a 5-star rating, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff, wherever you get your podcasts or your vlogs. We're here. We're just some guys that love to talk hoops. So let us share our hoop knowledge with you. So diving right into it. The 8-2 Warriors are taking on the 5-5 Mavericks tonight at the Chase Center in the Yeah, which is ironically enough, game one of the NBA Cup group play. How we feel about the NBA Cup? Like, I know that it wasn't like a big thing last year, at least for the Warriors, but like, since it's 0-0 and everybody's like pretty much even, or are we excited to actually try and go after it this year for the Warriors standpoint?
Why not? I mean, as long as it doesn't take away from the main thing, which is, you know, the playoffs. But it's exciting, and it's a good way for the NBA to generate some excitement in the very beginning parts of the season, where maybe guys are just kind of like taking it easy. But I'm still kind of trying to figure out, like, you know, the rules and like the groups, like all the implications of said NBA Cup.
Yeah, so pretty much I feel like they're just taking it soccer style. And I kind of like that they do it within like the first 20 games of the season, because like you definitely don't want to do it through the midway point. But essentially it's, I believe you have 4 to 5 games. I'm not exactly sure. This is just me spitballing off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But you have 4 to 5 games. The person that the winner of each group ends up going into the round of 16-8.
And yeah, then, so I got the breakdown right here.
Yeah.
So for the group stage, the teams will play 4 games on cup nights.
Right.
One game against each opponent in the group, 2 games at home, 2 games on the road. Teams with the best record in group play, and 2 wildcard teams, which are going to be the teams from each conference with the second best record.
Okay, fair.
So like, didn't win their group.
Yeah.
Those teams will advance to the knockout rounds, which are single elimination games. And then it's just, yeah, it's like tournament style from there.
Yeah, but, and then from there they go to Vegas, right? For
correct.
When it gets down to 4 for the, I guess it'd be the quarterfinals would be in there.
Correct. And all the games aside from the championship game will count towards regular season record.
Right.
So the games will count for the records, the stats will matter, but for the championship game, it will not count towards, you know, the regular season record, and those stats will not be recorded as regular season stats.
Yeah.
As far as Warriors specific, they are in Group West C, which contains the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, and the Grizzlies.
Gotcha.
Yeah, tonight is game one at Chase Center, going up against the Mavericks. Warriors are third place in the Western Conference right now. The Mavericks are in 8th. So, yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, Mavericks got a 5-5 record. They've lost 3 out of their last 4, and they haven't been winning a lot of games against what we'd consider good teams.
Yeah.
Which has been, I mean, a little bit of a surprise just given where they were last year, getting to the finals, you know, adding Klay Thompson,
right,
not losing a ton of their depth. It's been a little bit of a surprise, but I mean, it's probably just some growing pains for them, just kind of figuring out their new roster, but something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah. Also to something to look at for tonight, Derek Lively is returning to the lineup. He's listed as questionable, but about an hour ago via NBA TV with Shams Shams Charania. Sorry, I feel like we just all naturally want to say Shams. Yeah. He is questionable, but will be returning to the starting lineup tonight and will be available to play. So
that's a big plus for the Mavericks because he's such a good rebounder. He actually leads the team in rebounds per game with like 8. Yeah. Then you got Luka and Kyrie leading the charge for scoring. Luka's averaging like 28 a game. Kyrie right behind him with 26.
Yeah.
And then shooting a pretty well field goal percentage as a team, shooting around like 47%, 35 from three. They just, like Roman was just saying, like they just haven't been able to really capitalize on games against good teams. Like the last couple losses came against the Nuggets and the Suns. They also got a loss against the Pacers, which is kind of random.
They're the three seed in the East, which means something to someone.
What, I think I heard earlier that the three seed is currently sitting at 5-6. If that's what the Pacers record would be.
Pacers, I don't think you're wrong.
They're 5-5?
There's only two teams in the East over 500.
Yeah, like if you're a 500 team in the East right now, like
you're a 3-6 seed at 500. That's crazy. If you are a 500 team in the West, you are a 8-10 seed.
Yeah,
there is a massive difference.
Try next year.
Seriously. So I mean, I think we could look at that as like, congrats to the Warriors and to the Lakers right now. You know, just strictly based off of our podcast name, for at least being.
Over
500. I mean, the Lakers, I believe, were currently slotted at 7, being 6-4.
Yeah.
But still, that's a feat. So we're doing all right. We're doing all right. So as Warriors fans, you know, like I can't say that I'm a big Bay Area guy. I do watch the Warriors from time to time. I think that you guys have a very polarizing team. What are the defensive matchups going to be tonight? Like, how do you anticipate, with all the emotions going around, like how do you project that you defensively scheme to beat a bigger Mavericks team? One might even say more physical.
I mean, it's funny, right? Everyone looks at size and compares it to the Warriors, right? Because the Warriors don't have anyone over 6'9".
Yeah.
The Warriors are first in the league in rebounding.
Insane. Yeah. Great statistic. 48 great statistic
like that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that I kept thinking about that this past week, and then I saw that stat of the Warriors being first in rebounding. I was like, okay, like that, guess that makes sense somewhere. Because, I mean, rebounding, that leads to second chance opportunities. Right. That leads to just ending a possession for the other team. So that usually can lead to more wins, which Warriors are 8-2 right now. It's definitely proving right. But yeah, because the Mavericks have to play a two-guard lineup with usually Luka and Kyrie as their 1 and 2 there, Klay is always going to be in the forward spot for them with who plays power forward for the Mavericks? Is it Marshall? Najee Marshall?
Najee Marshall. Regardless. PJ Washington's there.
That's right. Oh, yeah, they have Dwight Powell, too. God, I always forget about Dwight Powell. He always shows up in, like, one weird game where he just plays very, very well or dunks all over someone.
I always forget about him, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. One of them guys.
Yeah, so honestly, I'm more worried about the guard rotation for the Warriors and the matchups against Luka and Kyrie because those guys are so shifty. They're great at driving to the rim and creating contact, drawing fouls, like they're elite at that. And the Warriors are going to have to play very, very careful and safe. As well, Daniel Gafford is a great athletic center who can
He
can do so much. I was very, very happy for the Mavericks when they made the trade with the Wizards to get him. Because, that was just a great pickup for them. But yeah, he's just super athletic, so he's going to be a bit of a challenge for, I mean, maybe Looney or TJD. Draymond is just an all-world defender, so I'm sure he's going to be able to deal with him pretty well. But just looking at the past few games with the Mavericks, they don't seem to be relying a lot on their bench as of right now, or they're not getting a lot from their bench. So it'll be interesting to see how the Warriors' larger rotation impacts the kind of shorter rotation of the Mavericks.
Yeah. Casey, who do you feel like is going to be like your impact player tonight? Other than Steph Curry, give me somebody on the Warriors that's going to make a dramatic impact in the Warriors getting a win tonight.
Ooh, good question. I think probably Draymond Green.
Okay,
first
fair.
Comes to mind. Need that heart and soul, and especially in a matchup where it's going to be like a high intensity game, and also it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some emotions involved as well with the return of Klay Thompson.
Oh yeah.
But also would say Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay.
Coming off the bench, he's found a pretty good role. I feel like he's shooting it well. He's playing just like overall, just playing a lot smarter, it feels like.
Yeah.
And I think he's been a good spark plug coming off the bench along with Buddy Hield. I think we're going to see a lot of GP2 and D'Anthony Melton, especially to try to contain Luka and Kyrie.
Okay.
Maybe try to hide Steph, you know, a little bit. But that's not to say Steph can't hold his own defensively, because I feel like he's an underrated defender.
Yeah.
Maybe not in like, you know, an elite defender, but
I completely agree with that, dude. I think that Steph Curry, from where he started as the ankle injury prone guy who can't keep anybody in front of him till right now, world of difference. I think Steph Curry is definitely an underrated defender as well.
Yeah, he's not a cone on defense.
Yeah. So who would the Steph Curry matchup be on this star-studded team of
put him on Clay.
Is it on Clay? Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be Clay, right? Because he's just going to be camping. And
I want to see Steph or Draymond on Clay, but I think Draymond would probably have like a pretty big task of, you know, you might see him on Luka a lot.
Yeah.
Or just like trying to command, like, you know, take care of like the paint and like around the basket area. But
so would you say that it's Wiggins? Is Wiggins your primary defender, like your the 1A defender?
I'd say so, especially around the perimeter.
Okay, so you would say that it's going to be Wiggins on Luka, which would put
probably Melton or GP2 on Kyrie.
Yeah, I would probably, my thought depends would on be
which,
probably
what starting lineup Steve Kerr decides to roll out tonight.
And Lord knows we never know which one that is.
Right, so we don't know who's going to get the start.
Yeah, he's talking to his Magic 8-Ball right now.
Yeah, serious. It's so crazy. The other night, I was literally, I was listening to the game as they rolled the starters out when they played OKC, and I literally thought about you guys because it wasn't a lineup I was expecting, and I was just like, "Leave it to Kerr, man. Leave it to Kerr."
Yeah, so maybe last year it would have bothered me more, but this year, given like how deep this team is right now, it's like, whatever, you know?
Yeah. It's
being a starter in a Steve Kerr team isn't like, for me, I feel like what's more important is who's the finisher, like who's finishing games.
Yeah. I could agree with that. So does that mean that there's, based off of the kind of the rotations we're talking about and the players that you're, you know, thinking are going to have defensive matchups against the Maverick stars, does that mean that there's no room for
more Moody minutes?
Or is Moody taking a back seat this game?
You know, I think there is room for more Moody minutes. And I think Moody has made himself, he is now like a part of the rotation, as last year he was in and out of the rotation. And kind of like what we said before and past episodes, like Steve Kerr likes to ride the hot hand, so if Moody's having like a hot night, he's gonna play more. But I think he's solidly playing around like 13-15 minutes a game, and that's not, and in those 13-15 minutes of play, it's like real, you know, like real game time minutes. Like he's not like playing garbage time, he's not like playing, you know, he's not guarding the end, you know, the last shot of the quarter. He's playing like the game.
Yeah, I mean, Moody has so far this season kind of been this like Swiss Army knife that Kerr can kind of implement in various lineups, as if there's like a gap with an injury, or if one of the 17 guards they have on this roster is out, they can plug him in at the two or something. And I mean, yeah, against the Thunder, he had his lowest minutes at 11 of the season. So yeah, and plus, I mean, there was just a great game to be had against the Thunder. So he didn't get a lot of opportunity there. But I mean, yeah, Buddy Hield had a quiet night, and Kyle Anderson had a quiet night against the Thunder. But yeah, it just kind of depends on who's playing hot, as Casey's saying with Steve Curry. He plays into that very heavily, into his decision making.
Gotcha. Well, I think it's going to be an amazing game tonight. Truthfully, I think that the NBA scriptwriters have this going to be less than a 5-point game. I know them very well. I'm great friends with the NBA scriptwriters here in the LA industry of film that is outsourced to everybody. But you guys have to be feeling great considering that currently the Warriors are ranking second on the NBA power rankings. So that's got to feel amazing for you guys compared to where it was last year. Obviously, 10 games in, but damn. I remember the Lakers for the first week, I think we were ranked like fourth. I was like, we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like you can't not be excited when you see something like that, especially after they beat the Thunder over the weekend. Granted, you know, when Chet went down, that kind of changed the whole game.
Yeah.
But the OKC Thunder, they did battle back and almost snuck the game away from the Warriors. But yeah, and you know, I got to agree with the power rankings right now. The Warriors, they look really good right now. And the Cavaliers, you know, number one, of course. I mean, I think they're 12-0 now.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't say anything.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, so I'd agree with these power rankings right now.
Yeah, so it looks like they've got – I'm looking at this for the Lakers specifically. Cleveland, Golden State, OKC, Boston at 4, 5, Phoenix, 6, Denver, 7, Minnesota, 8, Memphis, 9, Sac, 10, Pacers, 11, Dallas, 12, Houston, 13. We were 8 last week.
Ooh.
So we dropped 8 spots.
That's a bit brutal.
Yeah. That's harsh.
Yeah, but to be honest, we lost to the Pistons, which is a game that we should have won. And yeah, we didn't beat it. It was games where we didn't beat the bad teams by decisive margins and let them stay in it.
That'll do it. I mean, that was a rough road trip for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then right behind us at 14 is our Los Angeles counterpart, the Clippers.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Who's last? Let's see here. Who do you guys assume is last on the?
Ooh, give me the Jazz.
Give you the Jazz?
Give me the Jazz. Jazz for 500.
I watched the Wizards play against the Rockets last night, and that was an experience. So I'm gonna throw out the Wizards.
We're gonna give this win to Roman with the Washington Wizards coming in at 30. And the Utah Jazz coming in at number 29.
Oh, wow.
You're
right
there. You're both right there.
Good job, Roman.
Yeah. Oh, I watched one Wizards game. That told me enough, man.
And that's all you needed to know. The most, I know we're getting off of Bay and Lakers stuff, but the most surprising takeaway from this list, Milwaukee 24.
That's funny. I was going to ask, like, where is Milwaukee in these rankings right now?
They're at 24. They're up 2 spots from last week where they were at 26.
Interesting. Yikes. Did you guys see one, Damian Lillard's in concussion protocol?
I saw that, yes.
And then Damian Lillard on Instagram posted, like, a picture of, like, a llama with, like, emo hair. And just said, like, LMAO. Like,
what does this mean?
what code is this for? Is this, like, referencing Jimmy Butler's emo hair?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Get to Miami?
you know where people are going to take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. He's like, should have been in Miami. That's crazy.
Wow. I think the door is not closed still.
Oh, I think that by the trade deadline, you are going to see Milwaukee empty the clip. That's my guess.
It's going to be
Giannis will be, and Giannis will be gone. So,
man.
Yeah. But as we stray, let's not go. Let's do a whole show dedicated to that. I know that Brock wanted to get on tomorrow, and he had a bunch of like NBA centric stuff he wanted to get into rather than talking about just strictly Bay and LA. So I think that'd be kind of cool to do.
For sure.
Yeah.
But based off of, the game tonight, what's your guys' favorite Clay memory?
Oh, man. I will never forget the Klay Thompson signing a toaster, the picture and the memes that came from that. I had just a fan presenting him a toaster to sign and him signing it. I mean, it's an incredible moment to remember. And it's just so special because Clay is, he's a unique personality to the league, I feel like. And I mean, it's a toaster. Like, why did someone bring him a toaster? Like, what? Like, I think Clay in this moment was trying to find some like symbolism in the toaster and how it might represent him in some capacity. And I think he was just drawing a blank. So
I was going to share this if I was able to. I just went to eBay to see if there was a Clay Thompson signed toaster, but there is not. I'm looking for it.
I think the funny thing too, like the lore behind the toaster, I believe that this was like right before a playoff run and they had a very successful playoff run post toaster signing.
This is a rally toaster.
Yeah. So the toaster was, it's a good omen in Warriors lore.
Mm.
Oh yeah. That's the vibe right there.
Is this going to be a good omen for the Warriors tonight that we're bringing it up, or for Clay?
Ooh, good question.
Specifically, I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know what to.
Now we're toasting.
That's ridiculous. Now we're toasted.
Yeah, there's so many good Clay memories, like both like on and off the court. He's such a good personality, and
oh yeah.
But I got to say, for mine, it would probably be for an on-the-court memory. I'd say 2016, Game 6 versus Oklahoma City. I think that was the birth of Game 6 Clay, where he had 41 points, shot 11 for 18 from three, and essentially won them the game. They won 108-101 on the road in a must-have-it game.
Yeah. I remember where I was seeing that game. I kind of just chalked it up as a loss. I was like, the Warriors just lost the season right here. It's just over. And then Clay just kept shooting and shooting and making basket after basket, closing the lead and then taking the lead, just keeping them in it the entire time. I was like, I don't believe this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And yeah, the rest is history. And yeah, so was born the Game 6 Clay.
Game 6 Clay.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. Like, there's also the 37 points in a quarter off 11 dribbles against Sacramento. Like,
yeah, I know that was talked about for weeks.
For weeks.
Yeah. I another personal favorite of mine is Clay coming back after injuring his ACL 2019 against the Raptors, Game 6, just walking back out of the tunnel to just the roar and the cheer from the crowd, just him walking out, just shrugging it off, kind of just walking up to the line, cool, collected, level-headed, knocking the pair down, and then he's just running back on defense.
Yes, and tries to get back on defense, and Kerr's just like, hold on.
No, yeah.
You got to get that checked out.
Yeah, let's please look at this.
Can you imagine Klay Thompson plays on torn ACL?
I think he would do it. Like,
yeah.
Until Kerr called for like a DeMarcus Cousins, a take foul and then, to get Clay off the floor. Yeah. I think he was 100%
ready to
play
it.
Defense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was going to give everything he got. And that's just the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Oh, all right, boys. Well, I'm going to pin it there. Well, actually, you know what? I have one more question. What are our final predictions for tonight's game with the Warriors?
Oof, like a score or
Let's go score because I know we're going to be optimistic. Warriors are going to win.
So. Oh yeah, I myself am very optimistic. I like the Mavericks lineup. I think that there is a great narrative behind Klay Thompson's return, and everyone kind of expects him to kind of show up and show out.
Yeah,
but I think the Warriors team is just better overall, and I'm someone that doesn't trust a high usage player. And I mean, now there's two of them on the Mavericks with Kyrie too. Klay Thompson's playing a lot of minutes for them. And I think over an extended game playing against just a faster, more athletic overall roster, I think the Warriors kind of handle this game pretty well. And
You're predicting a decisive win.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't want to say double digit win, but it might be close to that.
Okay, so a 7-9 point win.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Casey?
I'm going to say 100-115 Warriors win.
So a lower offensive night for the Dallas Mavericks is what you're predicting.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say the Warriors get the win, but it's going to be in a crazy fashion via the script writers. I'm going to say it is 122-120 Warriors.
I like it. I'm here for it all.
I like Roman's face. He's like, I don't know. We'll come back to this.
We can come back anytime. Yeah,
we'll come back. Speaking of which, next show, since the Lakers and the Warriors are at 10 games, I'm going to pull out the old show to see what our first 10, what our predictions
oh, boy.
Were. I didn't get a chance to do it before this.
Mine's so botched.
I don't remember what I said.
I think I might have had the Warriors at like a 500 team, and I was like, yeah, if we're lucky, you know, we're looking at 500.
Yeah.
I'll pull up the audio. We'll revisit that. Quickly on the Lakers side, not much to get into here. Well, there's a couple things, but I wanted to keep this a Warriors heavy show just because it's the storylines are just too good to just be out there. AD is likely to play tomorrow. AD is playing tomorrow versus Memphis. He got his eye checked out. He is good to go. He is cleared. He does not want to wear the goggles via Daniel Starkand and Dave McMenamin. He just doesn't like him. He doesn't feel comfortable with him.
It looked cool though.
I love the look, but apparently it's because the glasses fog up too fast.
Yeah. Pajemski kind of said like the same thing about wearing the mask. Like it sucks to play with.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. We did end up getting the win over the Raptors 103-123, handled them decisively. First half was a little bit slow. And then when AD went out, the rest of our guys just kind of took over. We took flight and ended up going on I think it was 17-3 scoring run. And just kept it going from there. This is not to say that AD is the problem, because he is most certainly not. I think we just stepped it up for our guy. And yeah, lastly,
that means a lot too.
And lastly, we did get a Christian Wood update today. And unfortunately, my guy had a setback during his ramp up, and his knee is still sore, and he will be reevaluated via JJ Redick in 4 weeks. So that means another month with no Christian Wood. Which means that Christian Coloco will be our break glass in case of emergency guy. You know, if AD and or Bando goes down, I know that Coloco will be there to get him back up. So he is back and forth with the G League right now. And I think that should really be about it. We have a tab here about combinations best for AD and LeBron. I think we can get into that another time. I just wanted to kind of go over the quick highlights for the Lakers stuff. But yeah, we've got our predictions for tonight's game. It is a 7 o'clock or 7:30 tip off. It's 7 TNT. O'clock. Yeah, TNT has got to be 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Also, too, the Knicks and 76ers are the 4:30 game.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Any predictions for that one?
I'm going Knicks. I think that. Oh, it's Joel Embiid's first game back.
Yeah,
so.
Embiid's back.
Ooh, yep. I think I'm still gonna go Knicks.
Big that cat and Embiid matchup is going to be something to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
100%. So, yeah, man. Thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. My name is Austin Sexton with Casey and Roman from the Bay Area. And we'll catch you guys next time.